Okay.
Cool. So just to get started, do you mind just saying your first and last name and spelling it out for me?
Ray Ball, R-A-Y-B-A-L-L.
Okay. And so can you just start by, like, describing, like, I know you're from Bond Hill, but mm-hmm. just describing, like, where you grew up and, like, mm-hmm. what your life was like and your family, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. Grew up, born, raised, and still reside in Bond Hill, Ohio. Honestly, growing up, It was kind of cool because, like, my grandmother was my daycare, my emergency contact. She was, like, everything, and she lived four houses from me. I went to school maybe, like, a half a mile away from where I lived. And I kind of, like, the part of Bond Hill that I live in, like, I'll be very honest, like, I consider it kind of hood adjacent. Like, there's definitely a lot of things that happen in my neighborhood that are very reminiscent of the full Bond Hill community. But, you know, I walked to school every day, and I was able to, you know, see how some of my classmates and peers, I mean, other, like, neighborhood mates, you know, lived. And it was slightly different than how I was. But being able to live and grow and build in Bond Hill really shaped who I am today. It really drove home that sense of community because a lot of the people, like, on my street, on the street of the school that I went to, my friend's street, like, everyone still lives there. And that's not something that is very reminiscent of a lot of African-American neighborhoods specifically. A lot of people move, the neighborhood changes, gentrification takes place. Whereas, you know, Bond Hill is still very much the same. We're growing. We have lots of, I'd say, retail, developments. They're trying to do a lot in the community. We still need a grocery store. We won't get into that today, but so it's a community that I love, like, honestly, with all of my heart. It's really central Cincinnati. A lot of people may not necessarily know where Bond Hill is. It's neighborhood neighbors to Norwood. We're right in between 75 and the lateral, so it's, like, perfect for, I'm 15 minutes away from everything in that neighborhood. And it gave me a sense of, honestly, again, it gave me that huge sense of community, living in a community where my parents live, my grandparents lived, my dad, my uncle grew up in. So it's pretty cool that I'm able to still live there. I ended up buying my grandparents' house. So I'm still on the same street that I was raised in. So I've lived in three houses on the same street my whole life.
Oh, goodness. That must be a really cool experience.
It's kind of cool. Like, because each house is different. It's not like a cookie cutter neighborhood. So, again, like, the home I was raised in, from the home I was in from, like, 0 to 2 years old to the home I'm in now, they're all different, but they were all built on the strength of the people who lived, again, in that neighborhood.
And so can you kind of describe, and this is still, like, keeping in mind manifestation, we'll get to there in a second, but can you kind of describe, like, what kind of year you had? Because I'm sure people...
Oh, my gosh. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Carrie.
No, you're good. I'm wondering, like, just to describe what kind of year you had. How did you come into this year mindset-wise, mm-hmm. that kind of thing?
I'm going to be honest. 2018, I was like, I'm going to come in 2019, like, headstrong. Like, I got my stuff planned out. Q1, it's going to be a breeze. It was not the case. Everything that I think I manifested in 2018 coming into 19, I don't think any of it happened. And it was a blessing in disguise. So 18, I ran a political campaign. I ran a state representative race. We won. So he's a state representative in the House of Representatives. We also flipped that, I'll say, in 2018. But that it opened my eyes to a lot of what the city needs. And it also taught me from a political standpoint that trickle-up effect. And because of that, I was able to kind of align some of my goals as it pertained to what I thought would be in more centered towards politics. And that didn't happen at all. Like, I didn't work for anyone political except really myself last year. And this year, man, it started off... I was in a dark place because, again, it didn't start off how I anticipated it. And that was one of those times where I had to learn, like, you're in the center of a storm. And it really sucks right now, but you're not going to be here forever. So even literally all of Q1, January, February, and March, I had to continually remind myself, like, what you're going through isn't going to be here forever. And you are going to be stronger when you come out of it. But it really sucks right now. So, like, Q2, I say when spring hit, the sun came out a little bit. I came out of my shell a little bit. It was awesome because a lot of the projects that I had manifested in 2018 and things that I was like, man, I wish was here. I wish I could go to. I ended up being a part of. So one of them was Palooza Noir. So that was August 8th through the 11th. It was a three-day summit targeted at African-American millennials who worked in tech, who worked in entrepreneurship, who were beauty, fashion, style. And again, that was like larger than I ever imagined. It was hosted at 21C, and we had roughly 1,900 attendees throughout the region over a three-day period. So for me, again, I'm like, oh, I want to go to Afrotech, or I want to go to like Curl Fest, or I want to go to like all these, it was Afropunk. I want to go to all these cool Afro themed things, but none of it was in the Midwest. And again, like those, that was one of the things I was just so excited to work on and bring to Cincinnati, specifically Cincinnati, as a regional event. So that was kind of one of the things I would definitely say that I manifested that came through this year. But it's been topsy-turvy. I mean, I released a shoe with Nike that sold out in a week. I was a part of an event for Palooza, but I also almost died this year. So that was something that I had never expected, obviously. So I had a blood clot in June, middle of June. I had a blood clot, and within 48 hours of going to the doctor, I was having surgery. And for someone who's, I mean, I was 30 at the time. I was pretty healthy. I was working out quite often. I was eating. It was something that really hit me like a ton of bricks. And it was something that I would have expected would happen to me. And honestly, I was really out the game for a solid 8 weeks. I was on bed rest, nothing for 2 weeks. 6 weeks, it was, you can get up and like maybe make some cereal, come back to the couch. 8 weeks, like I wasn't doing anything. And that was really tough for me, someone who is a chronic busybody. So that's definitely, I can say, one of the things that also shaped how I live my life now. I'm nowhere near as stressed as I was. And it had me reevaluate what some of my goals were. Not to say that they were too lofty or anything, but readjusting them to what my new current lifestyle is. And that's something that had to be a lot more slower pace, a lot less stressful, but it's still incredibly impactful.
And I'm wondering, will you kind of describe like what kind of headspace you were in when you found out about the blood clot and you were like having to recover? Like, how did that kind of, I'm sure that shook up a lot of like what your plans were for this year.
Oh girl, I couldn't have a hot girl summer. It completely like deaded that. I had a full lukewarm girl summer. Got a little hot towards the end, but it was lukewarm. I mean, like, I honestly had so many things planned. I was like, I was going to travel. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And every time that, like, I tried to do extra stuff, my body was like, nah, girl, you got to sit down. Like, this is the universe telling you that you want to do so much physically. And you just got to chill for a second. Like, it gave me a chance to really be in my head. And that was something that was new for me. I'm usually incredibly like transparent and vocal and about things that are happening in my life. And for at least 8 weeks, I had to sit down and really just be by myself because I was in so much pain that I didn't even want to be around anyone. It was honestly, the post-op recovery was 1,000 times worse than the actual like pain of like the blood clot situation. Or, like I didn't really know what was going on when it happened. I went to the doctor, like, oh, my stomach hurts. Like, it was a normal GI visit for me. And then it changed very, very quickly. So that I didn't really have a chance, I think, like to understand what that was because it was so quick. But afterwards, I did. I really tried to be like this tough person. And there were several points where I was like, you know, you may not be as tough as you thought you were, but that's why you're going through this, to go through something that's incredibly painful mentally, physically, and emotionally so that you will be stronger if and when something like this happens again. Because, like, physical pain is far different than, like, emotional pain, and not being able to get out of physical pain is something that I know a lot of people haven't experienced. And just being in pain for that long at that high level, it was something that, again, I will never forget. But again, I came out like so much stronger.
And I'm wondering, I know that we kind of talked about like what manifestation means to you, mm-hmm. and like what do you think of when you hear that word, like what do you think of and how would you describe it to someone that's like, mm-hmm. what the heck is this?
I was that person. Like, what is a manifestation? Is that like an infection? Like, and And then I started reading. And you know how I talked about, like, when you're on social media, when you talk about starting or like or look, you know, you're inundated with that data. And that really did happen to me. Like, I would be Googling, like, manifestation tips, or I get on Instagram. I'm looking at, like, all these different accounts of women who are, I don't know, I'll say somewhere like tarot, or they do the stars, numerology. And these are things I knew nothing about. And it's still not, like, super high into any of that. But because I was on it and looking and liking, that information came to me a lot more freely. So I was able to kind of put together my own idea of what a manifestation is. And again, you know, I kind of said that it can be religious based, but at the same time, it doesn't have to be religious based. Like, I believe in God, I pray, and I have faith. But at the same time, I'm not going to say, like, God is only doing this and he did these bad things in your life to you. No, like, the universe also works with you. So God and the universe, in my opinion, they work together. And if you manifest a lot of things, you also have to work for it. So if you're saying, like, God, I want this awesome job, but you're not doing anything at your current job to be prepared for this next step in your life, you're not going to get it. So if you're going to manifest something, you have to also work for it. And understand that just because you want it now doesn't mean you're ready for it now. Like, again, I told you with my job situation, how I even started Baller Media. I manifested owning my own company, but I did not manifest getting laid off to have to start my own company. But that's just one of the things the universe is like, nah, girl, you're ready. You can't save any more money. You can't try and get all these other jobs. You just got to do it. And literally, like, they pushed me out the door, and I fell head first, and I got up and figured it out. But I totally manifested that. The shoe situation with Nike, didn't know I was manifesting it when I was doing it. I've always wanted a sneaker. I love sneakers. It's my life to a certain extent. So being able to get one, I was like, yo, I just tweeted that I'm going to get a shoe before I die. And now I got a shoe and I'm still alive. So I think manifestation is really something that you have to be intentional with. Like, be very specific, because, like, you could say, like, man, I want a new job, and you'll get a new job and you absolutely hate it because you weren't specific to what you wanted. But that also takes time to listen to your life. Your life tells you something about yourself literally every single day. Like, you need to slow down. You need to take a break. You need to go harder. Or, you know what? Maybe this isn't for you. Maybe you need to pivot in your lane and do something different. So along with being able to manifest what you want, you also have to be able to listen to the signs to know where to go in that manifestation.
And I'm wondering, like, how do you even say there's someone that doesn't believe in God, or, like, mm-hmm. that someone's orchestrating everything? Like, how do you even know what voice you're even listening for, or what that looks or sounds like?
You just gotta trust yourself, because your body is a temple. And I'm not saying, like, it's a religious temple or anything, but your body is a temple, and that it holds your soul. Your soul, whether you believe in God, whether you're an atheist, whether you're a Buddha, Yahweh, Allah, whomever you listen to, whoever you pray to, whatever. Like, your soul is still the one that talks to you the most. Your gut, your soul, it works together. So if something tells you, like, man, you probably shouldn't turn left, don't turn left. Like, and you have to listen to yourself. And sometimes, like, we're crazy as human beings. We don't really think logically. And that's when, again, like, that soul piece comes into play. Your gut will always tell you what to do. It's just whether you're going to listen to it or not.
I'm also wondering, because someone brought up a really good point, is, like, manifestation is, say you're a person that's, like, making minimum wage or below, and, like, you have, mm-hmm. you know, you're in a terrible situation, and, like, systematically you're locked into that. Like, saying manifestation feels like a privilege thing to say to people like that. What do you think of that? Like, do you think it's coming from a place of privilege, or I don't know?
I've been there before. And at first, I think when someone else who doesn't empathize with your situation, it's more of a sympathy situation, you look at it as it's from a place of privilege. Like, Meek Mill recently tweeted, like, it's the year to be a millionaire or something. Everyone's like, you're already a millionaire. Like, duh, it's easy for you. Like, I don't have no money in my bank account. I can't manifest $1 million today. But realistically, you may not manifest $1 million today, but, like, Oprah didn't make her first million till she was, like, 32. So do you think when she got fired from her job at 19, she was thinking that she would own O Magazine, that she would have her own network, that she would have, you know, her own syndicated talk show? No. So I think about, like, even if you manifest today, so, like, planting that seed today, that tree's not going to bloom. It's not going to grow. Those blessings aren't going to grow until you, one, water it, nourish it, and wait for it. Like, there's a patience piece to it. So if you're making minimum wage and you're feeling really low and that you can't get out of your situation, that's the issue right there. You've already locked yourself into your situation. You're in a mental jail of where you are. Think about all the blessings that you have. Because one, there's someone who's on the street who doesn't have anything, who doesn't have a job to go to, even if they're living through minimum wage. There's still someone who's in a worse position than you. And sometimes you really have to look at those small wins. On the shoe design, there's the eyelets on the Neighborhood Rose Air Max one. The eyelets are yellow, and it's a very, very, very small detail in the shoe, but I specifically put that in there to show that the small wins shine through, even when you're not looking for them. So for me, I literally sometimes you have to count the most minuscule wins. Like once the credit card machine at the corner store didn't work. So he gave me my bottle of wine for free. Granted, it was like an $8.99 bottle of wine, and it was nothing off of his margins. But it was the fact that like he did that for me. And I remember thinking like it was like one of the worst days of my life theoretically at that time. And that small free bottle of wine was like everything to me because somebody was like, you know what, you're worth it. Even though it was $9. Someone said that to me. So thinking about the small wins in life are very important. The next piece is like you, as hard as life is for you, you still have to emit that positivity. So even when I'm going through it, I still have to make sure that I'm positive to other people because I'm affecting their energy positively, which makes the full energy everywhere more positive. So what I do to other people is a reflection of how I feel about myself. And if I feel shitty, I'm sorry, can I curse?
No.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
You're good.
I'm so sorry. If I feel crappy about myself, I don't want to make someone else feel that way. So I think it's just all full circle. Like whatever you put out, you're going to get back. It's just a matter of time until it happens.
And I'm wondering, how do you even switch your mind to, because I do think that like when you're, whether you're just setting a goal or whatever the case may be, you do have to like open mm-hmm. your mind to that being a real possibility. How do you personally shift your mind to open up for these bigger things that are like so lofty to happen?
Well, you have to train your mind. You have to train your mind to do these things. So, I used to be super anti-podcast. I don't know why. Don't ask. I'm just a late adopter to technology sometimes. And the first podcast I ever listened to was Joel Osteen. And that is my guy. Oh my gosh. Like he and his wife, I love, they're so country and so wholesome, but I had to start training myself, so I had to start listening to people who were saying things that I wasn't familiar with as it pertained to being positive and faithful. I had to start reading books. So, like, another podcast I listened to was, is it Robin Sharma? And he's a life coach. And again, like, I was not into any, I don't even follow him on Instagram because I don't even like his Instagram all that much. But I love his podcast, and it's always, like, simple ways to become a better leader, to become more faithful in your right as it pertains to, your career or your personal life. So after listening to his podcast for about 6 months, I finally bought his book. And paid full price for the book and everything. And it was essentially how to lead without a title. And that was something that was big for me. People always say, you're the owner of this company, you're the CEO, you're this, you're that. I'm like, nah, I just work here. Like, I founded it, yes, but like, I just work here. So I really had to start training myself and putting people around me because I didn't have a lot of mentors. So I had to put mentors around me in the form of a podcast that I listened to almost daily, in the form of a book that was easy to read and I was able to take notes and highlight and really get something from it. And then putting myself in a position, even on Netflix, I watched like Inside Bill's Brain. Like he's like Bill Gates, sorry. And these are people I would never be able to be mentored from in real life, but I'm putting myself and opening my mind up to be mentored by these people in the different ways that they allow themselves to be accessible. And that took time, and that took, again, like took me being like, nah, I'm not comfortable, but I'm gonna do it. Like I didn't even know they had to subscribe to the podcast to get the new episodes. But that, again, that was a learning adventure for me. So that's one of the three, I said three of the ways I recommend people to start challenging something, get out of that mindset, that jail that they put themselves in is, you know, read, which is free. Watch Netflix, which you probably already have, and watch something that's good for your brain, good for your mind, good for your soul, because there's a lot of information out there. And even listen to podcasts, like, and do things, journal, like, do things that can consistently put you in a place to feel good about something. I'm not going to say what, because it's different for everybody, but for something.
And I'm wondering if you could say we're at the end of 2020, you know, in our minds. What does
2020?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you put yourself in that mind frame, like, what do you see this year and starting the decade being like? What does that look like for you?
it's not even a new page. It's not even a chapter. It's a whole new book. It's like, it's a Harry Potter series. Like, I got a whole new book. And the beauty in that is I can write that however I want. You know, it's my story, and whatever chapters, you know, I include are my chapters. I'm incredibly hopeful and optimistic, like I am every end of the year, looking towards the next year. But, you know, I manifested my 13 goals earlier this week on my bulletin board of what I wanted to get accomplished. And again, one of the things I told you on the phone earlier was, you know, making more time for myself. And even if that includes doing fun projects or doing impactful personal projects, and that's included in doing things for myself. But it's really important to strategize what those goals are early. And again, be very specific to the things that you want. And understand if you have 13 goals and you accomplish 10, like that's a win. Like that's a big win. Like those little bitty things you do every day by the end of 2020, that's a big win. So it's also like doing little things every single day to make yourself better. Even if it's like, all right, I'm gonna put my blinker on from now on, or like, oh, I'm gonna wear my seatbelt from now on, or like, oh, I'm not gonna eat the cookie dough straight out of the canister. I'm actually make the cookies because it's not good for you. Like it's those little bitty things every single day you do something, and by the end of 2020, like you should have a novel.
And I'm wondering if you were talking to, like, a child in Bond Hill or whoever else in Cincinnati, and they have, like, all the cards stacked against them, no resources or whatever to get to where they want to be. What would you say to them about manifestation or just thinking bigger picture?
Well, to be honest, I probably mask the word manifestation with the term future shot. I feel like you got to shoot every shot that you have because some are going to go in and some are not. Sometimes you got to get your own rebound and put it back up. Sometimes you're going to get fouled on a shot and maybe you can get an and one. Like all of these things, these are all different things that are going to hit you in life. So for a kid who's in my neighborhood, who's in Bond Hill, who's in Avondale, who's in Westwood, who's in Price Hill, who's in any, I won't say underprivileged, but underserved community, don't listen to the haters because everybody in your neighborhood is probably going to tell you what you can't do. Everyone's going to tell you like, oh, you can't go to college, or being smart isn't cool, or they're going to tell you everything that is happening in their life. But you have to understand that as a deflection of their insecurities back onto you. And as a kid, it's really hard to navigate that lane to say like, oh, my mom's telling me college is too expensive, when I could probably talk to someone about grants and scholarships, because I actually have good enough grades to get it. But everyone at your home is telling you that, like, you can't go to college, right? So that's being able to navigate people's want insecurity and your own manifestations. If you know you want to go to med school at 6 years old, keep shooting your shot. Take every science, extra science course that you can. Don't listen to people who are telling you what you can't do, because those are people who can't do it. Only people listen to people who can do it, because they're going to put you in a position so that you can do it. And that's something that a lot of, you know, kids need to understand. It's like, when I tell you shoot your shot, don't just shoot your shot in someone's DMs. Shoot your life shot. When I applied for the Nike shoe, I guess, collaboration project, there was 3 days before the deadline hit when I found out about it. And I submitted it 4 hours before it was due. And the whole time I was doing it, I was like, man, I'm never going to get a shoe. Like, I'm literally just young right from Bond Hill. Nike is never going to see this application. They're for sure going to pick some from like LA or Miami, Chicago, major markets. And when I found out I was selected, like, I didn't even read the whole email. And literally I'm sitting in my living room in Bond Hill having this fangirl moment. And I say 3 weeks later, I'm shooting on a street in Bond Hill that's a block from where I live. And there's these four little kids, and they yelled out across the street, I like your shoe. And I was like, oh my God, this is so full circle. Because I'm like, what school do you go to? And they're like, oh, we go to Bond Hill. And I was like, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they're like, I want to do this and I want to do that. I'm like, you can do all of those things that you just told me that you want to do, because literally I live a block from you, and the shoe y'all think is cute, I designed this shoe. So you can do whatever you want. Like these kids are, they got it tough because they were born in the technology age, and they're like, their phone is literally attached to like some receptors in their brains. But at the same time, they're probably one of the most creative and optimistic group or generations, I'd say, that, you know, that it's alive right now. Like, we have Gen Z, Gen X, millennials, all of these different groups. But like, these young kids are really, they're so optimistic and they're so smart, and they have so much access to resources. They just also need someone to maybe to give them that assist so they can shoot their shot.
Cool. Is there anything you want to add that I didn't ask you?
No. Just keep your head up. That's all. Keep your head up.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.